the whole tractor story takes off, and you guys must have been in some tall financial cotton. The money came
rolling in.
Rolling
barrels.
In. How did you take the words right out of my mouth? Yes. Is that what happens?
It is by no means what happens. It's a rough, horrible business, and I don't want to dwell on it because it's like on the couch with a counselor or a psychiatrist, but a lot of money went rolling by, and I can't complain about that, but the people that made the most money were the record company people and song publishing people. The money that came into me went back into making the next tractors thing, so it's like feeding a black hole. I don't want to dwell on it too much, but it was very, very painful.
Was money misdirected that should have come to you?
Misdirected implies some kind of accidental or oversight. They were directing as best they could the record company to never give me any money, never give anybody any money. That's their game. I don't fault them for it, but they will fight to keep from writing you a check. And a lot of times, artists miss money in a way because by the time you make the record, they paid for doing that. You can't take that out. You know, they gave the money to make the record, so there's that. Back then, music videos were big, and boy, you'd spend a ton on those, and record promotion and all that stuff. By the time you deduct all these things, and it's a year or two before that money from sales, if you happen to sell any records, starts coming in, well, you've got such a debt incurred that they still never have to give you any money. We just sold so many records so fast that they did have to write some checks, and we were very happy to get some money. And then it just kind of became a nightmare, not just with the record company and with Tim Dubois and with my band. You know, it looked like we were making millions of dollars, and the only logical explanation was I was keeping it from them, or whatever the story might be, because there just was distrust at every turn.
So they thought you were keeping money when...
I think so. You know, the record company I don't know. We fought all the time, and...
The record company was keeping the money. It wasn't you.
Well, you know, I drove a BMW, and I had a big house, so...
So it looked like...
Well, you know, there was money to do that, but it still was fancy income tax guy suggestions that made that happen. But in any case, I'm not griping about it all. I'm just saying that out of those millions of dollars that happened because of selling 2 million records, most of it just stayed in Nashville or New York, I guess. That's my vision. The Tractors was a concept, not a band. And then Tim loved the idea of the Tractors, wanted to call it the Tractors, not Ripley and the Tractors. That's all fine. I liked all that and still think it was a great idea. And then these guys that were my friends became the core of the band. We'd still never played, but we did that CMA show and sang Baby Likes to Rock It to already pre-recorded music. Then we did two songs at a AIDS benefit, really the very first time we'd ever played. We played the Tulsa Shuffle and Baby Likes to Rock It with various artists at an AIDS benefit in Nashville, and that was great, and my first time to play in, I don't know, 14 years. So it was great fun for me. I mean, it isn't like I don't like to play gigs. Then, truthfully, the first real showbiz thing that we ever did as a band was a David Letterman show. We were the fastest country group to go platinum,
yeah,
meaning a million sales. Dave says that on the introduction. I've seen it semi-recently. That gave publicists and whoever did that the hook and the opportunity to get us on the Letterman show, which is great.
Was it a fun experience to be there?
It was.
And he interacted with you prior to the show or not? He wouldn't talk to you before.
He didn't do that, I don't think. He was pretty famous for not talking. I didn't see him talk to Paul. He was up in his office. But to be honest with you, I think he had the flu. It's what they told me. But it was a good show. And
what about Paul? Did he come around and talk to you?
He did. It was great. They were the yin and yang or something. Yeah. They'd done this so long. And they, in those days, especially, did skits. They'd do that in the afternoon.
So then after the appearance in the Letterman show, that must have kicked in
sales. Well, it helped.
Sales like crazy.
I didn't really ever see any we were selling so many records that, you know, I didn't see any big bloop, but it was a good thing.
Did you get invites to appear as a group out of that?
Yeah, it was all one thing, though. To separate it out's not fair to the story, I don't think. We were just on fire.
Right.
I did probably an average of 3 or 4 interviews, be it press or radio or whatever, every day, at least 4 or 5 days a week. I remember Tim Dubois left a message, no cell phones yet. I think I called him from a payphone. He knew I was reluctant to play live. They'd had this invitation to do the David Letterman show. You have to remember, we'd never played a gig. And I'm reluctant to do that. Maybe more so in his mind. I had created that myth of myself more than it really was. But I remember him saying, come on, Steve, get some balls and do this show. Something like that, you know, be a man. You got to do this when this is too big not to do. The core group started to solidify because of the things that we did. Everybody always plays on everybody's recordings around town, and everybody's hoping to get a break or get a song cut or something. And so the Tractors actually, to all of our astonishment from everybody, kind of took off. So here we are. We got a career. We're on the David Letterman show, by right. God. Now I've got a manager and I've got a business manager, I meaning the Tractors, but really me. And I've got booking agents and a personal manager. The crews around me were stacking up faster than I could count.